reasons that they were doing, but Paul said, these guys that are troubling you, I wish that they were cut off, excommunicated, church to be shunned, to put to the outside. And they were troubling them. Now, how were they troubling them? They were troubling them by teaching false doctrine and teaching them that in order to get to heaven or get to God or be good, they had to keep the law because Christ wasn't enough. They began in the Spirit, but they had to continue on. This was causing divisions in the church and troubling them, so he said, I want them to be cut off. Now, I didn't cover this that last week, but a good reason to cut somebody off is when they're teaching a false doctrine contrary to salvation. Now, when is the last time you heard of somebody being in church for false doctrine? That doesn't happen often, but that was a reason that Paul gave, because he was troubling the church, and he said, I wish you were cut off. Okay? And then he says, because you've been called to liberty in verse 13, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. He said, no, forget about those guys and cut them off and thinking that you have to remain under the law. You have been set free. You're called unto liberty. The illustration is a slave that's been set free. You're not a slave anymore. You're free. You're a child of promise. Remember those illustrations he used back there? Child of promise. You're like Isaac. You're a son of the king. But don't use liberty to be self-serving, but to be serving one another. Use it to Christ set you free so you can serve others. Remember, Joseph was in prison. And why was the butler set free? So he could tell the king about Joseph that was still in prison and he could get freedom. He was set free for the sole purpose of setting someone else free. And that's how we are. We've been given liberty. Why does God set us free from the law? And all this 600 and some odd commandments of do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. Why does God set us free from all that bondage and burden? So now instead of putting our effort into that, we can have our effort into serving one another. That's what He set you free. He gave you liberty, but not to be self-serving, to be able to help other people. So do you use your liberty to serve? Now, that's where he starts getting into this in these next few verses. So in their mind, that raises a problem. If we're set free from the law and we're set free of liberty, then how do we make sure that we don't do bad things that harm us? And how do we also make sure that we do good things that we're supposed to do? If we don't have the law, if we don't have the list of commandments and prohibitions, then how are we going to know what not to do and what to do? How are we going to protect the church? How are we going to protect each other? How are we going to protect the people? And so that's when Paul here gives the solution. The solution is not the law that told you when to rest, when to work, when not to work, what to eat, what to wear. He got rid of all that. And you know what legalists fear? If we take the rules away, then how will people know what to do? If we take the rules away and say you don't have to go to church to be saved, then why will they even come to church? If we take all that away, you know, I've heard preachers say, you know, I know that's true, but I'm afraid if I tell them that, then they're not going to do what's right. I'm like, well, don't add to what God said. That's not the way. So God has a different way to keep us on track. And what is that way? It's walking in the Spirit. That's how we stay right. That's how we stay on track. That's how we stay away from that which is bad, and that's how we cleave to that which is good. So I don't have to put extra restraints on people. We have to learn and teach others how to walk in the Spirit. So if maybe you are here tonight and you don't walk in the Spirit. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't even know what that is. How I would even begin to walk in the Spirit? Well, I think the first thing you need to do here, we can see from the text, is you need to recognize the contrast. Look at verse, for the law, verse 14, is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then contrast, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And then verse 17, he said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And 16, now 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are, what's the word? Contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you walk in the Spirit, you're going to love God, and you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. All of our duties to God, we do in our moral things that we're supposed to do and not do, we do because we love God, and our neighbors are taken care of because we love them as well if we're walking in the Spirit. It said there, if you, all the law, that thing that you're not under anymore is fulfilled in one word, even this, love your neighbor as yourself. That's walking in the Spirit. Because that is a fruit of the Spirit, as we'll see later. So it's all fulfilled in that by love, walking in the Spirit. You think about if you love your neighbor as yourself, what does that mean? How do you love your neighbor as yourself? Well, we're pretty nice to ourselves, aren't we? You know, whenever there's a question, I always give myself the benefit of the doubt. Always. Why do we judge ourselves so leniently and judge other people so harshly? Because we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, and we look at our intentions rather than our actions, and we put things into context. But if we don't love our neighbor as ourself, then what we do is when we see their action, we fail to put it into context, we refuse to give them the benefit of the doubt, and we judge them by their actions rather than their intentions. But when you're walking in the Spirit, God leads you to love them and treat them as you would yourself. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. And if you ever want to practically understand how to live out how to love your neighbor as yourself, then just go to 1 Corinthians 13 and read about what love does and how it acts. It doesn't vaunt itself. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. It thinketh no evil. It beareth all things. And that's how that is played out in your life. But notice the contrast in verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. Now, that is not talking about cannibalism. I read that, I'm like, what in the world? If you bite and devour and be consumed, that sounds like burgers to me. But if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to be doing this. A bite is to speak scornfully, reproach with sarcasm. A devour is when you destroy someone spiritually. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He destroys them spiritually. And to be consumed is to be wasted, to be squandered, to be burnt up, to be destroyed. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not going to deal with your neighbor in love, but you're going to deal with them in anger and resentment. You're going to bite and devour them. But take heed that you're going to be consumed in the process. So, you know what the answer to church problems is? Love. You know what the answer to family problems is? It's love, walking in the Spirit. If you want to destroy a marriage, just get them fighting. If you want to destroy a church, just get the people fighting, biting and devouring one another. The whole thing will be consumed. It's mutually assured destruction. So, he says in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Now, how many of you are saved? You're born again. Okay? Your flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It desires things that are contrary to the Spirit. It has a desire to get things that are contrary to what God wants. And the, the Spirit wants things contrary to the flesh. So these are contrary one to another so that you cannot do the things you would. You're not, that doesn't mean that you're doomed to live a life of failure. That means if you're not walking in the Spirit, you can't do these things. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you can't do the things that the Spirit wants. You only do the things that the flesh wants. There's the contrast. The flesh is cursed. The flesh is your cursed, wicked, sinful body. Some people call it the old nature. And when God created you, He gave you all these desires, and then it got twisted. And now those good desires want to be satisfied in a bad way. You want Twinkies instead of cabbage, right? You understand the illustration there, but that's your flesh. It's contrary to the Spirit. Now, the Bible says in Romans that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You see, if you're walking in the Spirit, then you can please God, but you cannot please God through the flesh. And then he says this in verse 9, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Okay? So that's before we go there, look at Romans chapter 8. I want you to see this. Romans chapter 8, because we're going to be talking about walking in the Spirit. I think this is important. Romans 8, and look at verse 1. He says in Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, how many of you have ever, I know I've done this, I've had guilt, I'm like, I'm not good enough, I can't do that, I'm not worthy, I'm not enough. And I have all these thoughts of self-condemnation. And of course I'm not enough, but in Christ I am enough. Okay? And if you have condemnation, then it's not of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God says, stop doing this and get right with God. But the Spirit of God, the condemnation that you feel right now, if you feel like you don't belong here tonight, you shouldn't be here, that condemnation is not from God. That's from either yourself or the devil. It's either brought on by yourself or it's demonic. Because if you came in here tonight and you feel bad, maybe God wants you to get something right, but He wants you to be here. He told you to be here. He encouraged you to be here. Isn't that true? So if you're walking in the Spirit, there's no condemnation. That condemnation is taken care of by repentance and getting right with God with the things that He reveals to you. He said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, in verse 2, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Because the law couldn't do it. And then you say in, look at verse 8, because the carnal mind, or verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So you cannot please God if you are walking in the flesh. So here's what I want you to understand tonight, is that you are either walking in the flesh or you're walking in the Spirit. And if you're walking in the flesh tonight, you can't please God. You can't. They're contrary to one another. Walking in the Spirit fixes both your motivation and your inhibition. It fixes what you should do and what you should not do. If you walk in the Spirit, you are not under... Back to Galatians 5:18. If you walk in the Spirit, you are not under the law. Why is that? Why is that concept so hard for us to grasp? If we walk in the Spirit, we're not under the law, because Walking in the Spirit fixes our motivation, what we should do, and our inhibition, what we should not do. Let's give this example. In Texas, is it illegal to murder people? Okay? So, let's say tomorrow it was not illegal anymore. Would that change what you do? Would it change what I do? I mean, hopefully not. If it would, you're not walking in the Spirit. You see, if you're walking in the Spirit, you do not need that law that says you to go out and murder people, because you love your brother and you want to see them redeemed like God does, not destroyed. So walking in the Spirit, it fixes it, because you don't need that anymore. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're no longer under the law. You don't need it. God took it out of the way and He gave you something else to walk by, a higher calling, which is walking by the Spirit. Now, these are contrary to... Recognize that there's a war going on. Recognize that the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. There, if you are saved tonight, there's a war. There's something going... If there's no struggle, something's wrong. If you wake up every morning and you want to read your Bible and you want to pray, that's not how it works. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If you wake up every day of your life and you're excited about Jesus, praise the Lord, but that's not how it works. You wake up in the morning and you're more excited about Cheerios than the Bible, and that's the flesh. And if you don't understand this, you know what destruction it does to you? You wake up in the morning and you're like, man, I was so excited about the Lord yesterday. What happened? Man, there must be something wrong with me. No, the Bible says that is going to happen. There's a war going on, but don't walk in the flesh. Don't walk according to that. Walk in the Spirit. And I wish I understood that as a young Christian. Now, here's the thing I want to... Look, you wake up in the morning and the Spirit says, I wonder what's in the Bible. And the flesh says, I wonder what the last Avengers movie was about. I mean, the Spirit says, there's something in the Bible. I need to know God. I need to get to know Him. The Spirit has FOMO, fear of missing out on knowing God. And you know what the flesh does? Every movie that I don't want to miss it. There's a contrary, there's a battle going on. The war is there, and that's a good thing. Don't get discouraged because there. Just learn how to walk in the Spirit. Learn how to fight the war. Don't try to deny the war. Okay? And then here's the next thing that you need to do. Recognize the contrast. There's a war. There's a contrast. And if you walk in the flesh, you can't walk in the... And then recognize the corruption. Okay, so he says this in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. What does the word manifest mean? To be made clear, to be made plain. Why is it that we don't know if we're walking in the flesh or not? I mean, Brother Phil, are you walking in the Spirit or the flesh? Miss Kathy, are you walking in the Spirit or the flesh? Sister Michelle, are you walking in the Spirit or the flesh? Right? And you know what? A lot of us, we don't know. Well, he tells you how to find out. He said, they're manifest. What are these? Now, here's what I want us to understand. If we're ever going to walk in the Spirit, we have to recognize the corruption and where we're not walking in the Spirit. You know the answer to the sin problem? Is walking in the Spirit. And you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the answer to it. But he said the works of the flesh are manifest. What are these? And let's look at them. This is a surefire way to know if I'm walking in the Spirit. If any of these things are in my life, at least in that area, for that moment of time, I am not walking in the Spirit. The works of the flesh which are manifest, which are these. You can't do both. Did, as we go through these, here's the question. Did I, Bezalel Cummings, put your name there, did I walk in the Spirit today or in the flesh? Did I walk in the Spirit this week Did I walk in the Spirit this month? Was the majority of time spent walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh? Review the day. You woke up this morning. Obviously, you're here. Okay? What happened then? Was it the refrigerator? Was it the Bible? Was it hitting the alarm clock with a baseball bat? I mean, what happened? And then you went and breakfast and then work and now you're here. Praise the Lord. I'm very thankful that you're here. It makes me happy that you're here. But till you got here, hopefully we're getting in the Spirit now. We're walking in the Spirit now. But what was the rest of the day like? So here's how we find out. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. Hold your hand. I want you to see one verse before we proceed. Look at Romans chapter 7 and verse 5. We're coming right back. Romans 7 and verse 5. This is Romans 7 and verse 5. And this shows you how it happens walking in the flesh. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. The motions of sin. It's just like gravity going downhill. It's going with the flow. It's, oh, that looks good, I want it. Oh, that looks nice, I'm going to look at it. Oh, that tastes good, I'm going to get it. It's impulse. It's just doing what the flesh wants. You know what happens is the flesh gives you a checklist. And it says, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And if you're not careful and you don't walk in the Spirit, you know what you're going to do all day? You're going to walk around with your flesh's grocery shopping list and you're going to just give it what it wants. Well, I want this. Okay, here you go. And you know what the sad part is one day I'm going to die. My soul is going to leave this body and I'm going to go and stand before God. And this thing that you see right here that you think is me is going to lay down and the worms are going to come in and call out and out of my slippery snout. And the skin worms are going to destroy my body. And my body is not going to pay the price. My soul is. So you know what the flesh is? It's a robber that says, hey, go rob the bank. And then you get in trouble. And you go to jail and the flesh, I mean, you're left holding the bag. Listen, stop serving the flesh. Amen. Stop going with the motions of sin. It's a motion. Go against it, okay? Back to, here's the works of the flesh. Brother Ryman was preaching on the works of the flesh, and one time he says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery. And right at as he pointed out, the lady walked in that was cheating on her husband. He's like, oh, man. He said, let's try that again. Fornication. He's like, that's not any better. He said, it was. I didn't even set it up and plan it. Of course that would happen to him. Anyway, okay, so the adultery. That's violation of the marriage bed. How the Bible uses that is all manner of lewdness. The unlawful indulgence of lust. Or going after another God, cheating on God, committing spiritual adultery. And I don't, listen, I don't care what you say. If you were walking in adultery today, if that was going on in your life, you were not walking in the Spirit. You're not. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't fulfill what the motions that the body tells you to do. It'll tell you and you'll say no. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, you'll fulfill it. And this is not just talking about defiling the marriage bed. It also says in Matthew 5:28 that if you look upon someone to lust after him in your heart, you've committed adultery with them. So it doesn't matter what you say if your choice of entertainment is wrong, if your choice of what you do when people are walking by, if that's wrong, then that you're not walking in the Spirit. Your thoughts, it's contrary to the Spirit. It said fornication. That's the same category. If you are living for God and walking in the Spirit, you're not doing things in secret. All things are open and honest before them of whom we have to do. We get married, we stand before God, we try to do things right. And then look what else he says, uncleanness. You know, that's the same category as this sexual things, the uncleanness. You know, this category of sins that he's talking about here, you know, you've heard people say that all sins are the same. That's not true. That's not true at all. The Bible says that he that committeth fornication sinneth against his body. And you know what that uncleanness is? Everybody here that has ever done something that was wrong in this category of sins, you felt dirty. You just, something, it wasn't the same as when you cussed out the guy at the gas station. You're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And then you go back in and do it again, and you don't really feel bad. I mean, I don't, but this guy knows what I'm talking about. But when something like that happens and you allow that into your life, there's a defilement. There's an uncleanness that is contrary to the Spirit of God. And if you allow that to perpetuate and you don't get it right and you don't repent before God and stop walking in that way and you just live in that uncleanness, that's not the Spirit of God. No. Let's keep going here. Lasciviousness. This is a word that a lot of people don't use today, but it's in the same category. Lascivious means this, that you are trying to excite someone's carnal sexual desire towards you. It's the way that you walk. It's the way that you dress. It's the way that you body language is. The Spirit of God does not lead you, and I haven't been on Facebook for a long time, okay? So I'm not talking about the picture you posted today, I promise. Okay? The Spirit of God does not lead you to take a seductive selfie. That's lasciviousness. If you wondered what that is, that's lasciviousness. The Spirit of God doesn't lead you to go to a full-length body mirror. It doesn't. That is not the Spirit of God. If you ever wondered, if you are doing that, you are not walking in the Spirit. The ladies in the Bible didn't do duck face. And even if they had a phone, they would not have done that. Can we just be real? That is not walking in the Spirit. You know what that is? That's fulfilling the motions of sin. That's walking in the flesh. You know, when I was a young man, and ladies dressed immodestly, it caused me a lot of problems. It did. And you know, if you're a young lady, you don't understand that. But I have three boys. And oh my soul. I said, hey, look guys, it's a long way to marriage. You better not start that habit. Just, it's a long way off. But I've been, not here, but I've been in a service before. And the way the person dressed on another row. And those three little boys. And I'm like, oh, Lord. And so I tell them, like, this is how you deal with this. This, that, you know what that is? whether intentional or not, that's lasciviousness, and that's not the Spirit of God. And you don't want to get involved in that. But when I was a young man, it used to be something that would there was a certain draw to it. And I'm not saying that can't ever happen again in my life. But now when I see a young girl that's involved in this, and maybe it's kind of innocent at first, it's, oh, wow, if I dress this way, I'll get this kind of attention. Maybe it's testing the waters or something. But it hasn't become intentionally evil yet. When I see that, I get sad. But when I see it, and that woman knows what she's doing, and she's doing it on purpose, it makes me sick. I mean, look, that's not walking in the Spirit. That's not what God wants His people to be involved in. It's a stumbling block. It's not right. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you don't need a checklist of what you should wear and what you should not wear. You don't need that. If you want to please God, you're not going to err on the side of hurting other people. You're not. So the answer is not a dress code. The answer is to walk in the Spirit. And so that's what that is. All right, people, they're eat up with it in our society. It's not what God intended. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20. Here's some other works of the flesh. It says this, idolatry, witchcraft. Idolatry is making a god out of something down here that's not God. If other things are more important to you than God, then you're not walking in the Spirit. Witchcraft, that is, curses, magic, fortune tellers, using the Spirit to gain knowledge, trying to tell the future, to put curses on people. Hatred. If you hate somebody and want to destroy them, you're not walking in the Spirit. It's not of God. Variance. You know what variance is? It's an argumentative spirit. Here's what variance is. Someone will say something and you'll just be like, well, then, and you're just argumentative. You always want to argue about everything. The Holy Spirit is not argumentative. It's not. It's not like that. And always correcting. The Holy Spirit is not contentious. Let me ask you this. How is your walk? Are you walking in the Spirit? It says emulations. What is that? That's trying to imitate somebody. I go to Bible school and all these preacher boys are trying to imitate the preacher. And you know what? Whenever they do that, they try to imitate, they always imitate the bad habits. Because that's what the flesh imitates. Not the Spirit of God. Emulations, just be real. Wrath, that violent anger, when God-given anger becomes sinful and destructive. Strife. Just causing problems all the time. The Holy Spirit's peaceful. Let me ask you this. Do you bring peace or problems? Only by pride cometh to condition. Seditions. What is that? That's rioting, going against authority that God's put in your life. You know what the crowd out there rioting is? That's seditions. That's a tumult. That's, I'm going to, overthrowing the government. Going against it. Rising up in rebellion, taking control. Religious people do that a lot. The Jews did that. His blood be upon us and upon our children. Heresies. What is that? That's doctrinal error. Like these guys, teaching the most carnal, fleshy people that don't walk in the Spirit of God you will ever meet are people that major on false doctrine. And they make it a whale, and they're always trying, well, what do you believe about this? And exactly when do you believe this is going to happen and this is going to happen? That's not the Spirit of God. The heresies. And then it's envying, Galatians 5:21. That's wanting what is yours, not yours, and having uneasiness or discontent at the the excellence or reputation or happiness or a success achieved by another. Murderers, if you're killing people, you're not walking in the Spirit. That should be pretty obvious. I mean, he throws that in there. Drunkenness, revelings, what is that? That's loud, boisterous, obnoxious, out of control. They used to say to me, "You're such a spaz." I don't know if, hopefully that's not a bad word. I don't know what it means. Okay, good. But losing, that's not the Spirit of God. And he said, of the such like, which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so he told us this before in Galatians chapter 5, and we're not going to turn there, but you know what's going to happen if you continue walking in the flesh? You're going to lose your inheritance. You're going to suffer a loss of reward at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to get there and have nothing. You won't inherit the kingdom of God. You know what the kingdom of God is? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you have righteousness? Do you have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit? Not if you're walking in the flesh. All right? And if you'll get saved yet so as by wrath. And then the last thing, most important thing, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, look at verse 16. I want you to get this. He says this, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." What is the answer to the lasciviousness and the lust and the anger and the strife and the seditions and the emulations? And what is the answer to that? Walking in the Spirit. You know, we don't need more laws that we put on our flesh to try to... We need to walk in the Spirit. The law is never going to satisfy the flesh, and it's not going to work. So, recognize the communication. He said, walk in the Spirit. You know what it means to walk? It means to move in accordance with. Now, one time I walked into the house, and my son was playing the piano, and I kept hearing this tick, 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 tick. And I said, "What is that?" And he said, "It's a metronome." And it's not a gnome that lives in the city. It's this device that ticks. And I said, "Well, what's that for?" He said, "So I know when to play. I know where tick, 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 boom, boom, boom. I know the timing." And so the teacher gives me the timing, and I set it, and I have to play to that tick. And I said, "Well, how does that work?" And he said, "Well, you have to be able to hear it clearly, and it has to be louder than anything else, and you have to practice until it's just automatic and it's just natural to play when you hear the tick. It just becomes part of your subconscious, and it's just automatic. That's a cue." Right? That's how we're supposed to do our Christian life. You've heard about people, they march to the beat of a different drum. That boom, boom, boom. So the Spirit, you know what He wants you to do? He wants to set a pace in your life. He wants you to give instruction to you on how to walk. But if you are going to walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to learn how to hear the Spirit. You have to hear it. Now, when you're a young Christian, people say, "How do you know? How can you hear it? How do you know when the Spirit's talking to you?" I'm like, well, how do you speak English? They're, "Well, I can't really explain that. You just kind of learn how to speak it." And when you, here's what it has to do with. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So you know what you do? "God, I want to know what You want me to do. I want to know." And you know that the Bible gives you some clues. It's a still, small voice. And you can quench it You can grieve it. You can silence it. You can fight against it. But it's a still small voice. It's that, like that little tick. And you have to learn to recognize it. So we won't turn there. But there's a lot of places in the Bible that you can see how the Holy Spirit works. He said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they're spiritually discerned. And the Bible talks about people that have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. So it's something that you have to learn to hear. It's a still small voice. And learn how God speaks. And how does God speak? Okay, we have a couple. Look at Acts. All these are in Acts, just quickly. Acts 21:4. Somebody, you get that. Acts 18:5 and Acts 16. So it says in Acts 21:4 that we tarried there 7 days, and there were certain disciples, in verse 4, who said to Paul through the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit of God speaks to you through other men. Remember, God talked to David, but then he sent Nathan to tell David something. Now, God already had a relationship with David where he talked to him. I mean, he wrote the whole book of Psalms, but God still found it necessary to send Nathan to talk to him. So sometimes God's going to talk to you through another person. Now, be mindful of this, that it will never contradict the Word of God. It will never contradict the Word of God. Okay, Acts 18:5, Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, and Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. So, you know what that means? He was prompted by the Spirit. Now, if you will look at how the Spirit works in the book of Acts, you know where you can see it the most is when other people are witnessing to other people. He was pressed in the Spirit to witness to them. They were filled with boldness and spake the Word of God. When the Spirit came upon them, they were given boldness. And so, maybe if you want to start learning how the Spirit speaks when you're walking through the grocery store, you say, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? Him? You say that's kind of, I don't know. Look, this is just how the Bible lays it out. Look at Acts 16. This is why I say that. Look at Acts 16. In verse 6. When they had gone through out Pergia and the region of Galatia, were 16:6, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And this is something it took me a long time to learn. But sometimes it's not of God to talk to certain people. That's the Bible, isn't it? I mean, I didn't make that up. That's in the Bible. And so it's not always of God. And so you have to learn when is it of God and when. And it's not because you're scared. That's not an indicator. They were forbidden. But then look what happens in verse 7. And then they wanted to go somewhere else, but the Spirit suffered them not. And then in verse 9, they went to Macedonia. The Spirit directed them to Macedonia. So he's like, no. Nah, go here. Okay? And then the other place that you can see it clearly is when the Ethiopian eunuch, remember he's going and the Ethiopian eunuch's coming along and Philip's there and the Spirit said to him, go, join thyself to his chariot. And it was just like that. And he ran and jumped. I mean, look how quick that is. And he jumped on there, and then he talked to him of Jesus, and then the Spirit moved him on. Here's another way. Peter was having a vision. And while he thought on these things, the Spirit said, go with him. nothing doubting. When, remember Joseph, he had that vision, and while he thought on these things, the angel came and said to him. And then, listen, when the Spirit has come, he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. He'll teach you things, and he'll reprove you. Doesn't it say that? He'll reprove you? You shouldn't have said that. You just learn to recognize where the Holy Spirit... Let me ask you this. Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking in the flesh? Because the Lord says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's the answer. All right? Let's stand and we will be dismissed. See, I said I would be fast. I should have never said that. And Terry Long. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for these things you tell us about walking in the Spirit. And I pray, Father, you will help us all to learn and hear the Holy Spirit clearly when you're speaking to us. And we wouldn't walk in the flesh. And I pray that you would give everyone in here victory to be able to walk in the Spirit. Teach them how to do it, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.